Welcome back to another edition of the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. And today, you're in for a real treat. Jim and I have flown all the way out to California. As you can tell by the background music, we are sitting in Disneyland itself right now, just outside of It's a Small World in Fantasyland. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the history of Disneyland, and not only the history, but some new stuff that Jim has uncovered, but also some new developments. With me on the show, as always, is Mr. Jim Hill. Jim, how's it going?
Great, Lynn. You know, it's nice to be out here, particularly as they're kicking off the 60th.
So. Okay. And Jim, we just went on Storybook Land canal boats.
Yeah. You know, Len and I go right for the thrill rides.
So, exactly. You know, first thing to jump on.
Well, but again, with the 60th, it's kind of appropriate to do the Storybook Land canal boats, because it was one of the first 18 rides that opened at Disneyland back in July of 55.
Okay.
Of course, back then it was a very different ride. Back then it was called the Canal Boats of the World, and though it was one of the six rides in Fantasyland, it was the one that they just hadn't finished. They money ran out, time ran out. It was described as, you know, you were supposed to be able to get on this boat,
right?
That was going to be themed around the canal boats of Holland and France, and you know, you were supposed to float by all of these recreations of famous places around the world. In fact,
So Jim has an interesting document here. It's and I'll let Jim set it up, but it's something from the archives of one of the original Disneyland Imagineers.
Well, yeah, this is actually, if you were an ABC, CBS, or NBC executive who was being pitched Disneyland at 53, this is what Walt handed you.
And okay. So he's got a document here, and you can tell it's sort of the old typewriter style. It's a Xerox. It's, what, 5-6 pages, something like that?
Yep. And the land we're going to talk about now is the one that never got built at the park. It's called Lilliputian Land. And now you have to understand that Walt was this enthusiast about making miniatures. In fact, in the 40s, mm-hmm. You know, that was his hobby. That was what kept him from going crazy. You know,
more crazy, as it were.
More crazy.
Okay.
You know, it so he would build. In fact, for a time, Disneylandia was going to be this traveling exhibit of miniatures that Walt built of scenes from.
Oh, this was the train thing, train idea. Yeah. The economics of it never worked out.
Yep. So. But again, Walt wanted to make use of all the work that he'd done. So again, we had Lilliputian Land, which is a land of little things, a miniature Americana village inhabited by mechanical people 9 inches high who will sing and dance and talk to you as you peek through the windows of their tiny shops and homes.
So Americana, yep. Which is the theme that... Mm-hmm. This is early on, so this is what... Disneyland had that Americana theme early on, right?
That's it, exactly.
Okay. And so, then nine inch tall dolls.
Yep.
So maquettes, essentially.
Very much so. In fact, this sort of ties back to the Dancing Man project that they did with Buddy Ebsen,
right.
All right, so anyway, the key attraction for the land was going to be an Erie Canal barge that would take you through the famous canals of the world.
Erie Canal barge. I mean, nothing says entertainment, Jim, like a barge on the Erie Canal.
Left and navigating on the Erie Canal. Yes. But again, you got to see the scenic wonders of the world in miniature. Here, a little diamond stack locomotive, 17 inches high, steams through a tiny train station. You get to sit on top of the Pullman coaches. This is the thing you did in Walt's backyard.
So the things that in this original pitch, it's Walt is pitching, hey, all of these things that I've been building,
yep.
We're going to make it into a theme park.
Yes, God damn it, I've already built them. All right,
exactly.
I don't want to spend any money. All right, so you sit on top of the Pullman coaches like Gulliver, and the little 9-inch engineer pulls back the throttle, taking you on the biggest little ride in the land. And of course, Disney's all about food these days, so this totally cracks me up. But seriously, this isn't the perspective. And for the little people who have little appetites, you can get miniature ice cream cones or the world's smallest hot dog on a tiny bun in Lilliputian Land.
and the joke is, of course, that they still charge $5.99 for that miniature hot dog.
God help you. And you stand in a giant line for your tiny hot dog. But anyway, this was something that was in the original perspectives. In fact, it's kind of fitting that we're sitting basically facing Small World, because this is where Lilliputian Land was going to be built.
Oh, really? Back here?
Back here. So, again, the park opens and Canal Boats of the World You know, it's just sort of like, we're going to get to this. We're going to get to this.
But so it opens, and they let people go on it. It's really just sort of a boat ride of nothing.
And it's a bad boat ride because the electrical engines on the motors would crap out. You know.
Oh, jeez.
And so, and at this point, all the boats are being driven by men, so they'd have to get out of the boat, wade in the water, and drag you back to dock.
It's like a bad visit to Venice.
And meanwhile, this is kind of the section that's famous in Disney in that because they had so little money for landscaping, this is where Bill Morgan Evans, who did the landscaping for the park, went out and put up little signs next to the with the genesis name of the weeds.
Oh, the genus and species name of the weeds. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like okay. Luckily, however, Disneyland is a financial success straight out of the gate. So for year two, there's a $2 million expansion of the park. And what they do as part of this expansion is they realize, you know, this is really at Fantasyland. The canal boats of the world idea doesn't work. So this is when it becomes Storybook Canal Ride.
Okay, so 56. For 56, 50. It begins.
All right. But, you know, again, so the whole notion is that you build all of these buildings from Disney, famous Disney films, 1-inch to 1-foot scale.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, there's a weird moment while they're doing this where Walt weighs, because they're having problems with the engines that keep crapping out.
Of the boats.
The boats. Okay. Should we do another ride vehicle? And what they considered for a while were tubs.
Tubs.
As in rub-a-dub-dub, 3 men in a tub. That,
oh man, this is the funniest thing, because I was in an attraction in, it's in England, and I want to say it's in Chessington.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rides was sponsored by a soap company, and you actually rode around in tubs.
Wow. Okay, I wish I could have done that. But again, the notion was, by going with the 3 men in a tub idea, that's much more fitting for an attraction that's all about fairy tales. But in the end, it was just, we have a ride system in place. Let's just stick with what we have and go forward.
Huh.
Jumping ahead here. Again, the detailing was insane. All right, you know, okay. that you had this situation where Walt wanted, wanted recreations of Geppetto's Village, wanted recreations of Snow White's Cottage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it then became a situation where, but he wants it lit up. So it was like, so all of the doors, these 6-inch tall doors, had to have lead hinges made so that the technicians after hours could reach in and change the light bulbs.
Oh, that's right. So we just went through this ride. And yeah. You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting from it is, hold on, we have a cart. It's like we're in the world's largest popcorn popper. You
That's
should
right.
hear that audio. I'm deaf now.
Oh, okay.
So we just went through it, and one of the things that I noticed was a lot of those sets, they're built into the side of the mountain. There is no, there's no apparent rear service area in the back of that.
You know, in fact, I mean, that's the whole issue, that people have to be able to get in there and fix these things.
Okay.
And think about it. You had to prop it so it looked right. So, for example, in the window of Geppetto's Toy Shop, there are dozens of hand-carved tiny little toys that
they gotta be like 2 inches tall.
That's it, exactly.
Wow.
And you know, you've got miniature drain pipes on each of the buildings. And speaking of drains, again, this had to look authentic. All right, and so you know, there's a couple of buildings that have tin roofs, and the problem was, in order to get them to age down to the right color,
copper roofs,
and it turns out what makes color. A copper turned color.
An acid.
Is an acid. And one of the more fast-working acids is uric acid. So there's kind of a famous story of once they finished the work, they took these things outside of the model shop and peed on them. You know, they peed on the roofs to get them to get it to the point where...
Here's what I think of your architecture, Steve.
That's right. But it got it the right color at the right time, faster. And at the same time, again, to give you some idea of Walt's dedication on this thing, the people who were making the buildings, they're making lead glass windows for these.
Oh, really? Those are actual lead glass windows?
Yeah,
the miniature ones?
Yeah, and in fact, in the chapel in the Alice in Wonderland section, there's a real stained glass window.
It's got to be like 4 inches square.
It is. And that was the thing, the argument that the technician made. Look, Walt, I can just paint this. It'll look right from the boat. No one's going to know. And Walt's like, I'll know.
I'll know, yeah.
You know, and so it then goes forward. And then, you know, then totally discreet regarding the buildings. You know, the plants also have to be in the right size in order, you know, the wrong size plant.
They mentioned that in the ride-through, that these are all miniaturized plants. And they said, and I don't know if this is scientifically true, but they said that Tinkerbell was the one that actually made the plants that small.
No!
Okay.
All right, actually, Disney's horticulture department, what they found, for example, is if they put some of the plants in containers and hid them underground, as the roots got bound, that's as big as the tree would grow.
So you limit the root growth.
Yep. Conversely, though, while they were building this, somebody discovered a pygmy forest. A pygmy forest in Northern California. It was down by the beach, and it turns out all of these trees had... There was a limestone shelf just below the surface that restricted these things. So
okay.
There were all these pine trees that grew to 3 and 12 feet tall. And you got to understand that pine trees normally grow to 60 to 80 feet tall.
Yeah, pine trees. So they grew to how tall?
They grew to 3 to 5 feet tall.
Like a miniature, like a dwarf pine.
And that's it. And then they ran in and grabbed them. And in fact...
We're going to save these.
That's right. They're running down Anaheim. And Walt, you know, believed so strongly in this project, he had a bonsai tree on his desk that he actually volunteered to the project. So, you know, there's something from Walt's desk sitting in there.
There's really a bonsai tree on Storybook Circus that belonged to Walt.
Yep.
Wow.
So, anyway, one of the more famous sections in this thing, this for floral stuff, is the giant crazy quilt. It's actually supposed to be, the way they tell you it is, it's from Lullaby Land, one of the shorts. And
right.
The reality is, no.
It's a series of, it's almost like a stained glass window on the ground, but it's colorful plants, and there's like a little border of concrete, and it's very sort of round corners. It does look like a patchwork quilt, but of plants. Sorry.
Very much so. Anyway, that they tell you that's supposed to be from Lullaby Land. It's not really. What it was originally supposed to be, and again, Walt was always looking for a big, you know, again, think about it. You enter through Monstro's mouth.
Yeah.
He wanted a finale for this thing. And so, you know, at one point he was thinking that wouldn't it be cool if, as you're floating along, you see what you think is this sort of patchwork quilt of a garden.
Okay.
And then it's a real patchwork quilt because lying under it is Willy the Giant from Fun and Fancy Free. And so you'd have, and he was, you know, much like how Monstro's eyes open and close and blow steam.
Hold on one second. You know, even if podcasting technology was around in the 1800s, because of the cobblestone streets, we never would have recorded anything.
There we go. Anyway, much the same as Monstro's eyes opening and closing, you know, as you came to the end of the ride, here's Pete lying asleep, but... You know, and in fact, the attendant said, "Now be quiet, we don't want to wake the giant." You know, and his eye would sort of flutter open, like, "What's going on?" Speaking of which, I guess we should talk about the movies that are featured in this thing.
Right.
When it originally opened in June of '56, we had Snow White, Pinocchio, Cinderella, Ichabod and Mr. Toad, Peter Pan, and Alice in Wonderland.
All feature films, except for... Toad wasn't a feature film, was it?
Well, I mean, Ichabod and Mr. Toad. It was, you know, one of the featurette things that they crammed together.
Okay.
Shorts that are represented are Three Little Pigs, The Old Mill. Anyway, and again, as we mentioned, Walt was a huge fan of miniatures. So he was... This was actually one of his favorite rides. In fact, he you know, it was a D-ticket back in the day, and Walt took extraordinary...
Was it really? It was a D-ticket?
It was a D-ticket.
Wow.
But Walt was so concerned about always preserving the scale that when it came time to build the Matterhorn, it's like literally, it's like, okay, guys, come with me, and they all go into the Storybook Land and stand in the canal boat and go, look, this has to be positioned in a certain way so that the mountains behind Geppetto's cottage, you know.
Blend in with the Matterhorn?
With the Matterhorn.
Wow.
So, I mean, just imagine that. This is back in the, you know, you aren't CG modeling. This is slide rule country.
Yeah, and they're actually standing in the boat. You know, one of the things that that I noticed when we were walking in here, we walked down Main Street. Mm. We sort of went to the right, and we actually walked towards the Matterhorn, and then made a a left to get to Small World. But one of the things that I noticed was the mastery of views that is just... It's way better in Disneyland than in Walt Disney World. You know, when you're standing at the Matterhorn, you look down the left, and you can just sort of see the movement from the gears at the top of It's a Small World. And it's one of those things, it's a classic, you know, Disneyland weenie. Mm-hmm. You see movement, you want to walk towards the movement.
That's it exactly.
And the thing that got us there was the waterfall in front of the Matterhorn, and the water's moving down and everything, yeah.
Yep. Just to double back quick, you mentioned about it being a D ticket.
Yeah.
You know the, as you come up to the attraction, there's a lighthouse standing there.
Yes.
That's an old ticket booth.
Oh, the lighthouse is an old ticket booth.
For the
lighthouse is right near by the entrance to the to the line.
This is one of Disneyland's original ticket books, and again, they themed it, you know, so it blended in with the canal boat.
Huh.
So, anyway.
So let's talk about the movies that are in there now, because there's a new one, right?
Well, yeah, in fact, what's kind of interesting about that is that this attraction basically stayed the same for years.
Sure.
What's kind of interesting is, in fact, we would talk about this as we were on the ride, that when you get up to Monstro, this actually ties back to an idea that they proposed for 53 for the park.
Right.
When Monstro was actually a Shoot the Chutes ride.
Yeah, so Shoot the Chutes is almost like a very, very early version of a log flume ride.
Right on the nose there.
Yeah, basically. So you go up and then you sort of slide down the... You slide down the chute, and that's the basic idea.
And these rides have been around forever. In fact,
Coney Island days, right?
In fact, the Santa Monica Pier. There's a short that Max Sennett shot as a Keystone Comedy, where it's Fatty Arbuckle and Mabel Normand doing one of these things and falling out into the lagoon at the bottom.
So funny.
So Walt. These were part of Walt's language or stuff. In fact, interestingly enough, there were going to be two water rides in Fantasyland back in the day. There was the Monstro ride, and then there was going to be the Donald Duck bumper boats.
Okay.
But again, all of them pulling ideas from old theme parks. But anyway, one of the things that we were talking earlier about this is, again, you board your boat, you go through the Fantasyland Lagoon, and then somehow you end up inside of Monstro. You sort of float around to the back, and now you're inside of Monstro. And
it's true.
Nobody actually explains how you got into Monstro, but... We don't really need to get into specifics here. But as you now go up your load hill, and you're seeing, you know, in much the style of the windows on Main Street, vignettes from Pinocchio, until finally you reach the top, and there's Geppetto and Pinocchio starting the fire that makes that monster sneeze, and achoo! And you go down.
And that's how you get out.
That's how you get out. And in fact, the weird thing is, that's actually part of the mythology of Storybook Land canal boats, because again, you go into Monstro's mouth, and they tell the story about how Pinocchio and Geppetto started the fire that made him sneeze. And in this version, Monstro sneezes off his tail, so you float through him. And
I wasn't going to go into that part of it about, like, you enter through the mouth, so how do you get out?
Yeah,
but that's it. He sneezes off his tail.
So anyway, you were asking about the newer films that have been added to it.
Yeah,
In 1994, just on the tail. You have to understand that they...
Are you going to make a Little Mermaid joke off the phrase, just on the tail?
I wasn't, but I will now. They were in the process of prepping as part of the expansion of Euro Disney. I mean, that had opened in 92. They were looking to, again, same thing. They've got capacity issues. So one of the rides they built there is their version of the Storybook Canal Boat Ride.
Right, right.
And what ends up happening is that Disney's looking like, well, look, we're doing development on an aerial thing. You know, can't we bring that here? We're doing development on an Aladdin thing. Can't we do that here? So in 94, they do this.
They bring out Little Mermaid and Aladdin.
Yeah, you get the city of Agrabah with the Sultan's Palace. You get the Cave of Wonders with the, the lamp and treasure. And then Ariel, you get, it was actually their attempt at a new bookend for the, a finale. So, you know, you see...
Oh, yeah, because it's at the end of the year,
In fact, they make the joke that as you're going by King Triton's place, which is where the boats are kept at night, it's like, that's Neverland, because we never, never go in there. or take the guests. But anyway, they but something has to go to make room.
Okay.
And so, you may not remember, you know, because again, this was the 90s when it was there, but when you came to the English Gardens section,
right,
you first passed... you first passed Alice's Village with the church and the White Rabbit's Hole.
Yep.
And across it was the island supposed to be Kensington Garden. In fact, they have the Peter Pan statue. But at the end, before you make your turn, is Toad Hall, or was Toad Hall.
They still have one building, right? But they don't have all of it?
Well, that's kind of where it gets interesting, that they pull out Toad Hall, and in the classic tradition of Orange County, whenever you change something at Disney, they lose their mind.
Yeah, sure.
So, oh my God, you pulled out Toad Hall, and that's part of my childhood. How dare you do that?
Does that mean that the ride's going away, too?
You know, well, no, and that's the other thing that Disney was making them crazy. It's like, yeah, we pulled out the little tiny Toad Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
But 100 feet away is a full-size Toad Hall.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Through?
Yeah.
Didn't matter. You know, they made such a stink that they actually went back in and shoehorned in.
Oh, is that why it is where it is?
Yeah.
Because it's right near the shore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now there's this weird transitional moment because, you know, here's Toad Hall, and then you hit the thing they just had in December this year, you know, Arendelle. You know,
yeah, Frozen,
the Frozen,
yeah.
Land. So, you know, so I just kind of interesting that Elsa could go down the street and get, you know, a couple of sugar.
Mr.
You know,
Toad.
For Mr. Toad.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, that they have, they've done the update, just, you know, and bringing, again, because face it, you know, if you work at Disney, you have to figure out a way to put Frozen in.
Into everything, every single thing. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Yep. But what's fun about what they've done with the Frozen thing is that, in a weird sort of way, it's the way it's positioned. You are positioned between two mountain ranges. You have the mountain range that backs up Pinocchio's village,
mm-hmm.
and then across the way you have the mountains that back up Arendelle. And in fact, what's really fun is that they built Elsa's Ice Palace back there.
Son.
You know, if you can look at that.
It's got waterfalls in it. It's got everything in it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's nice.
And I think the thing I enjoy the most is that as it ends, you know, as you're driving, you actually pass Wandering Oaken's trading point.
Oh, I missed that. Is it there?
It's in the hillside. And if you actually listen, you can actually hear him go, woohoo! You know.
Really?
He's there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But yeah, this is, but again, an opening day attraction that still manages to be relevant because, again, you know, I mean, mind you, it took them another 20 years after the update in 94.
Well, that's fine.
To put in stuff.
That's fine. It'll keep happening then.
But yeah, it's, and I guess it's worth noting here that it's, you know, it's interesting that they finally have a finale with Frozen.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, but it's just like, even back in Walt's day, they wanted to have a finale. And one of the things they were planning on building was the Big Rock Candy Mountain. And
oh, right, yeah.
And in fact, you have to understand this was going to serve two purposes. Because it was actually going to give... Because you got to remember that the canal boats are surrounded by
Casey Jr.
And so it was going to finally give them a finale as well. That this was going to be...
Oh, they both tied into Rock Candy Mountain. Okay.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is that as you climbed up the Big Rock Candy Mountain, you were going to get that, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can.
Oh, is moment. That where that was going to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Meanwhile, as the boat goes into the mountain, weird throwback to Disney history. In 1957, the company was going to make the Rainbow Road to Oz. They were going to make a Wizard of Oz movie. And inside the mountain, there were going to be these scenes from Oz. You were actually arriving in Oz in time for Dorothy's birthday celebration.
Okay.
And it was again, getting back to the little dancing, back to Lilliput Land. These were going to be the first attempt at AA figures, but teeny tiny itty bitty version.
Oh, back in 57.
Yep.
Oh, and the technology just didn't exist for that.
And to bring this whole thing full circle, that Disney lost its enthusiasm, or Walt lost his enthusiasm for making an Oz movie, mostly because The Wizard of Oz was now being shown on television annually.
Okay.
And it was like, how am I going to compete with that?
Yeah, you can't compete with free.
You know, so what ends up happening is that jump ahead, you know, again to 93 when they opened the Euro Disney version of the canal boat rides. And here you have the modern Disney. You have Belle's Castle and
right.
the Beast, or it's Belle's Village and the Beast Castle. And you have, but these nods to things, like you have the mountain where Chernobog is from Night and Ball Mountain. And they do the little Russian village from Peter and the Wolf. And you actually get to see the anvil from Sword in the Stone. But how do they end that ride? You go to Oz. You float by Oz, and
is it really? It's Oz.
Yeah, I mean, it ends in a, you know, and this is, and in fact, what's so funny? This is Oz before Disney did Oz the Great and Powerful, and in fact, a really funny bend on the story. You, one of the things you floated by, and again, this started in 93.
Yep.
Rapunzel's Tower. 20
years really,
before
they did
Tangled.
Rapunzel.
So, yeah. Huh. So
that's classic.
But anyway, so that's a brief recap of the history of storybook Canal Boat Ryan. And again, you know, when you're out here celebrating the 60th boat, you want to see something old, an opening day attraction, you want to see something new, as in the brand new Frozen section, this is the perfect ride to go on.
Fantastic. Should we continue walking through the park?
Sure.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.